Hello, and welcome back to Surgery 101. I'm Jonathan White, and this podcast is brought to you with the help of the Department of Surgery at the University of Alberta, and also with the support of our industry partners, Covidien. This is our first audio episode in a while. We spent the last few months focusing on our video work, with things you'll have seen like Muppet Surgery and Surgery Bootcamp. We've been completely blown away by the amount of attention we've got from Muppet Surgery. I was also very pleased and surprised when I recently found out I've been named as a 3M National Teaching Fellow for my work in surgical education. It's a big milestone in my career, and there's a lot of people I have to thank for helping me get this far. Back here in Edmonton, spring has come and summer is in sight, so our video team is gearing up to spend the summer scripting, shooting and producing more video episodes. We'll be focusing more on footage from the operating room, including some 3D video. But before those episodes come out, we're going to have a run of good old-fashioned audio episodes. We've been recording these in the background while the video episodes have come out, and we've got a bunch of them that are ready to go. We'll be covering topics like urology, anesthesiology, ophthalmology, and many more. We're starting this week with an episode that's a bit different. It's called Aviate, Navigate, Communicate, and it's by a friend of mine called Jeremy Stone, who's a doctor that I met down at Singularity University last year. He's going to be talking about the parallels between medicine and the aviation industry. And what he has to say was recorded before the recent Malaysian Airlines disaster, but it does have some resonance with that, and we'll also have some resonance about how we practice medicine today in 2014. So, are you sitting comfortably? Then let's begin. Here on Surgery 101.
Does automation make medicine safer? Perhaps we should look at other trades where computers have changed the face of their work and see if there's anything we can learn. Flying has got safer and safer over the last many decades, at the same time as computers have changed the average cockpit from a bewildering array of dials into a cool, calm office of screens and joysticks. Workloads have reduced dramatically, and flying has become routine. In fact, pilots can now learn to fly and be certified on many new aeroplanes without ever taking to anything other than simulated skies. There seems to be a simple correlation. More automation equals more safety. As an anaesthetist and pilot, I've always been struck by the parallels. The pulse oximeter, the computerized ventilator, just like the screens and autopilots of a modern commercial Boeing or Airbus. But some strange things are happening in the world of flying. Impossible accidents are starting to occur, and most worryingly, there's nothing much wrong with any of the ultra-modern aeroplanes involved. Pilots learn an important phrase early in their careers: aviate, navigate, communicate. It reminds them about the order they must perform tasks when everything starts to go wrong. The accidents of late appear to be characterized by pilots forgetting, or perhaps more seriously, not knowing how to perform these very basic tasks. Accident specialists have spoken for years of a Swiss cheese model. Accidents may happen in complex systems, like flying or medicine, when there's an alignment of many usually uncorrelated events that lead to a hole all the way through the slices. A small mechanical failure, bad weather, tired pilots, strange coincidental events, all happening in ways it's difficult to predict. In 1999, a nearly new Air France A330 Airbus fell out of the skies over the southern Atlantic, killing all on board. It was night, in bad weather, but conditions that were entirely normal for aircraft and crew. It transpired that the Swiss cheese had been at work. Odd weather conditions led to icing of key measurement systems that fed three banks of computers. With data that didn't cross-check, the computer stopped providing all the safety protections to which the crew were accustomed and trained. They began to lose the key skill that is now the focus of safety researchers: situational awareness. They failed to work as a team. Perhaps most disturbingly, they started to work against each other. Each of the two pilots tried to fly the aeroplane in different and opposing ways, but because their control sticks had no mechanical connections, they probably didn't even realize in the dark, noisy, blind panic. Aeroplanes need forward speed to retain lift, but this huge machine stalled and fell into the ocean at a near standstill because one pilot wrongly pulled the nose back. He appeared to have forgotten the pilot's basic mantra, to aviate. The pilot followed the navigation instructions presented to him on computer screens that were receiving bad inputs and didn't do what he'd learned his first day in a small training plane. So why did he blindly trust this information? And does it invite difficult questions? As an anaesthetist, I became increasingly worried by the blind belief in pulse oximetry and the reluctance of some colleagues to look at the patient under the greens. I witnessed more than a few near accidents because the magical numbers were okay, or perhaps worse still, 85 and 95% were a rounding error apart. Is this the same navigate ahead of aviate problems? I saw the aftermath of a friend given 10 litres of crystalloid in the few hours after semi-emergency surgery at a world-renowned American hospital. Not because she was short of fluid or hypotensive, but because with poor post-operative urine output, a doctor slavishly followed a protocol that instructed giving fluid boluses. Not once or twice, but time after time after time, and refused to consider diuretics because they weren't part of the protocol. The slavish navigation had overruled basic logic and invited questions about this doctor's fundamental aviating skills. Was this a one-off? Perhaps. But errors in US hospitals account for 2 jumbo jet accidents per day. If 2 400-seat aircraft were crashing every day, would we ever fly? The difference, I suggest, is hospital accidents and deaths are quiet, one-person tragedies, not front-page media events. I fear we've assumed that computers and strict protocols can reduce the need for basic skills. Aviation is allowing new pilots with a barely 150 hours experience to act as co-pilots in commercial aircraft. But what happens when our maps are wrong or incomplete, or the situation in which we find ourselves is not one we, those who wrote the maps, have encountered before? Are the basic skills of our pilots and doctors, those once celebrated, now berated seat-of-the-pants skills, so diluted that we've allowed the pendulum to swing too far? Aviate, navigate, and communicate. In our pursuit of safety, the importance of mundane human skills seems to have taken a back seat.
Thanks very much, Jeremy. That was just great. It certainly made me think about how we can use protocols and guidelines along with common sense in practice to keep patients safe. Before we finish up, I'd like to mention a couple of podcasts that have come to my attention recently that I'd like to recommend. The first one is Therapeutics Education, and you can find it at therapeuticseducation.org, and it's produced by a friend of mine called James McCormack. We recently had a great telephone conversation comparing our experiences as fellow members of the Podcasting Brotherhood. So I'd really like to recommend this podcast to you. Give it a try. He's got a bunch of videos that are very amusing as well. The other one I wanted to mention was the Short Coat podcast, which you can reach at theshortcoat.blogspot.ca. It's an excellent podcast. It's produced by medical students for medical students, and it's a great listen. So please try those two out, therapeuticseducation.org and theshortcoat.blogspot.ca. We're always very keen to receive your feedback on this episode or any of our other episodes, so please visit us at surgery101.org or on the iTunes Store, or on the App Store, or on Facebook, or on Twitter at surgery_101. We're very keen to have your comments and suggestions for new episodes in the future. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you back here next week for another audio episode of Surgery 101.